Thank you for listening to Abundant Life Church podcast. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit alchibbing.org. Enjoy and God bless.
We're going to read scripture together, Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord for just a wonderful time in praise and worship this morning, and also just that time of reading the scriptures together. Such a joy to be here to see your faces. I kind of can see your faces. Who's even here this morning? Y'all are crazy. It's cold out. It's cold out. My car was like, enough is enough. And it barely turned over this morning. Stop. You know what to get me, Sandy, for Christmas? Some wool socks. They're there. They're just no show. Gosh, you're embarrassing me in front of my friends. We should let's pray this morning. Lord, help Sandy and all of us. Let's go ahead and pray over the message this morning. Lord, thank you so much. I already have asked you for joy to fill this church, and because your presence is here, there's a fullness of joy. As Pastor Kagan sang, "You can have all this world, but give me Jesus." This Christmas, we lean into this. Give us Jesus. Arrive in this moment. Come into this place. We have this heart of Advent to be with you. For all things to be restored, your kingdom to come quickly. Our hearts ache for this. We ache for your presence. And we know, Lord, that you're here in our very presence. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray that joy would come to those who are needing joy in this day, this season. Would joy come and fill us again? I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, a few things before I dive into the message. Number one, you saw the video of Teen Challenge Cambodia. Praise God, you gave $5,000 to them in 2 weeks, which is incredible. Give it up for yourselves this morning. Give it up for Abundant Life Church for giving 5K in 2 weeks. Just an incredible miracle. And that was Kim Han. He wanted to say thank you. I was like responding to him in the video like, "Thanks, yep, it's good to see you again." And realized it wasn't a conference call, it was just a video. But it is a joy to give, to be a blessing this Christmas. And again, just sincerely, just thank you for your faithfulness to give to this church. And trust the Lord with this next season. Today's message is about joy, and it's called Finding Joy Again. And you know, I think about this season. I've had so much emotion because of the last that. And my prayer for everybody here is that we can find joy again. And it's not about us, it's about Jesus. But I think that in this transition of us being done on December 28th, it brings up emotion, and that's okay. That's okay. It's in fact, it would be weird if it didn't. And we love this church. We have been so, you know, just the emotion of knowing that our season here has come to an end. It brings sadness and a lot of different emotions, grieving, but we truly we believe that joy will. You know, the Lord is so concerned about your joy, and He actually is able to cause us to in our times of sorrow to lean on Him, and in that we find peace and joy and hope. Amen. And so Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. We've been on this journey, Luke 9 through 19, and it's a travel narrative where Jesus is going from his Galilean ministry up to Jericho into Jerusalem. And it's interesting because this is so fitting for us this morning, because Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. He's entering into the city, and this is the idea of Advent. It's fitting for us today. Advent means anticipation. It means the arrival or coming. So Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's going to lay down his life for the sins of the world. He's going to ascend into heaven. He's going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And we find joy in this truth. So today I want to talk about how you, no matter what season you find yourself in, maybe you're in a season like myself, which is grieving. Maybe it's pain, maybe it's sorrow, maybe it's sadness, maybe even it's mental health, depression. But my prayer today is that we'd find joy again. And it's so key for us to know what joy is and what joy isn't. Joy isn't the same as entertainment or happiness. So this is where we get quite tripped up and complicated in a culture of joy, of, you know, temporary joy, of happiness and seeking entertainment. The joy that Jesus is talking about is being right with God. Amen? Joy is about this knowing, being with God. This is where we have true joy. Joy is taking this broken world. You read the news, and man, it's like I read the news this morning and just instantly grieving about the violence, the brokenness of this place, the brokenness in our own region. As I read the news, I find joy knowing that God is coming close, and He invites you and I to find joy at making this world more like heaven. So we find joy in those places, being right with God. We find joy with being with God. We find joy with making this world more like heaven. And so I think, once again, the Lord cares about joy. He cares about the season you're in. He doesn't promise ease, but He promises to be with you. He doesn't promise to be entertained in everything we do. But John chapter 15, verse 11, he says this prayer to his disciples, this idea, this truth to his disciples, and it's that these things I've spoken that you may have joy in me, and that your joy may be full. And so this morning, I pray that no matter what season you find yourself in, My prayer is that we'd find joy in the house today by reading the scriptures, by tackling the truth of God's word this morning, that we can see that he is in control. He's sovereign. He loves us. And he's got a plan, and that we can find joy, even if it's laughing at the pastor's choice of socks. I guess that was a weird answer to prayer. It's like, I prayed for joy in the church, and then they're all laughing at you. It's like, so the Lord cares about your joy. He cares about our joy through this season and beyond. In Luke chapter 18, it's about a man who is rich, and all the gospel accounts recognize this man as rich. But at the end of the story, spoiler alert, he leaves with a sad face. The idea here is that he is massively disappointed. He's had success in so many areas of life, but in this question and in this place where Jesus calls him to a place to be closer committed to him, he leaves away. He leaves saying, you know what, I'm not in. I'm going to go my own way, and he leaves with a sad face. And so today we pick up the story in Luke chapter 18, and Jesus has a few days left in his earthly ministry. Here, a young ruler, he's trained in the law. He knows the Ten Commandments. He knows the law of Moses. He runs up to Jesus. He kneels down. He asks the most important question ever that you could ever ask in the entire world is this question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Have you ever found yourself asking that question? If you haven't, it's a good question to ask. How do you experience eternal life? What do you have to do to experience eternal life? This is a great question. He's genuine in his question. He gets some things right. He comes up, good teacher. He's got this good idea, this good language. I've had a good life. You're a good teacher. Am I being good enough to experience this good age to come? It's kind of the context here. It's very casual in this moment where Jesus then kind of corrects him and says, why do you call me good? What is this good attempt? What is this good language all about? And this man is asking this important question. I think he's got a great intent, and his heart is genuine, but is he coming in with this perspective that is just trying to say, I want what this Jesus good teacher has without the commitment. I want to have this eternal life, but I'm going to dodge everything else that Jesus is calling his disciples to live out. Man, doesn't this sound like me? Doesn't this sound like our own humanity? And Jesus, he's so wise and loving. He takes this rich young ruler and works with him. And Mark's account says that he loves him. So as this man is dodging the whole point, he's saying, I got a good life. I'm being a good person. I want to get to a good eternal life. Jesus knows how to work with this rich young ruler, and he knows how to work with us. And this is the key, is that we all are on the same journey, and we begin to ask important questions about life, and we have the right posture. Good teacher, Jesus, what should I do? How should I live? How should I respond? How do I have eternal life? Jesus could have listed a lot of things here. The Bible's full of a lot of lists. Have you ever recognized that there's quite a few lists in the Scripture? There's a list of the Ten Commandments. There's a list of the Beatitudes. There's a list of the things that Jesus says his followers must do. There's a list James says what pure religion is. There's a ton of lists in the Scriptures. There's a ton of content in the Scriptures. If you look and you think about it, Jesus could have said, You know, he could have taken this and easily challenged this rich young ruler who's experienced good living. He could have said, you know, the Beatitudes here to this man. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. That's the answer to this question. Being poor in spirit, you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Or, you know, the Beatitude, blessed are the persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus could have went into this doctrinal, positional paper or content, if you will, but he doesn't. And in fact, the Lord, he says, you know the commands. You're a good Jewish, you know, a Jewish boy from a Jewish family who's been brought up well, you know, physically well, spiritually well. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give a false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And then the prideful, arrogant young ruler, he says, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. And he's saying, this is cool. This is good news. I'm living the good life. I'm doing the good things. So I surely will inherit this good eternal life. You see, it's interesting here because Jesus could have mentioned the first part of the law. You know, you should not have any other gods before me. You shouldn't practice idolatry. He could have listed that in this very moment. And we all can have theories to why he doesn't. My theory is that this man right now doesn't need more content. He needs more commitment. He doesn't need more content of lists. He needs more connection with Jesus. He doesn't need more content. He needs a challenge. He doesn't need more content. He needs a correction. And I think he would have taken this content, and I think he would have said, okay, here's the rules. If these are the rules, then I'm going to follow these rules. And I think he would have strived in his own effort. And think about, we give our kids rules, and rightfully so. I am so strict when it comes to my kids crossing the street. Like, in fact, they don't even know how to cross the street without me. And they're getting older now to where they should know how to cross the street. But I like the rule of, like, hold my hand in the parking lot, hold my hand down. They're going to be 18. And they're still going to be, this is the list. Look both ways. Like, hold my hand. 18 years old. And see, we like the lists because we can dodge certain things. This young ruler, he's trying to dodge the commitment. He's trying to dodge the challenge. He's trying to dodge the call. It's like he's seeing the disciples. He's watching this band of people who are following Christ, and it's like he says, yeah, I want the content. Give me the list, and I'll follow that list, and I'll be sure to have eternal life. But Jesus is he sees he sees into our hearts. Revelation 19 says he has eyes of fire. I think eyes of compassion, but burning eyes to see into our hearts. And he knows what you're trying to dodge. He knows what roadblocks are in our hearts. He knows the things that are we're stumbling over. So Jesus, with eyes of fire and eyes of compassion and eyes of love, he says this position, this statement, this challenge, this correction, this commitment, this call, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. This isn't to us necessarily. This is specifically to him. This wasn't to Joanna, those who were providing for Jesus' ministry. This is to this rich young ruler. Jesus is saying, you still lack one thing. Here's the call you have on your life. Sell everything, give to the poor, and come follow me. And point number one is that the Lord, he knows the things in your life that are blocking real joy. He knows the temporary joy that you are holding so tightly to that you're missing the pure joy of knowing God, being with God, and making him known. The greatest joy in this life is to know God, to be right with God, to be with him, to be close to him, and then to follow him, to make him known. So again, here we see Jesus is loving him correctly. He doesn't back down. He doesn't ease up. I have a tendency to ease up in my pastoral moments. If people are dodging something, I have the tendency to ease up. But Jesus knows that he cannot give an inch to this wise, rich, young ruler. And so he gives this uncomfortable challenge in this call. If we slow it down, go. Sell everything that is getting in the way of our intimacy. Sell everything and follow me. The same invitation that was given to the 12 apostles, to the disciples, is now given to this rich young ruler with so much potential. Come and follow me. And this man, he fails the challenge. He doesn't experience eternal life. He doesn't experience eternal joy. I believe he doesn't even experience true happiness in the things that truly matter. This man is caught up breaking the commandments. He's caught up in idolatry. He has something replacing his worship of the one true God. It's materialism. It's money. It's things. It's stuff. It's power. It's the comparison. He has so much, and he's breaking the first half of the commandments, and here he's coming to this place where Jesus asks him to lay these things down, and he doesn't. And he actually goes away sad. The one thing he's failed at in life, the first time it's like he's not having success. It's almost like he was successful in school, grade school, sports, jobs, career. He was popular. He came from a well-known family. He had legacy wealth. And here we find him with Jesus meeting the Savior, meeting God in the flesh, the one who has eyes of fire, calling him to let go of the thing, the temporary joy, that's blocking him from eternal joy. We are going to find ourselves in the same place today. We're going to find ourselves examining with the living God. Examining with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is personally speaking to each and every one of us through this word. It's about this narrative, but it's to us. He sees with eyes of fire. He comes into a place of personally speaking to us. He's so faithful to speak directly to you through his word. To Nicodemus, the Pharisee, personally speaks to him. He says, you're going to have to let go of your heritage. You got to be born again. To John and James, you're going to have to let go of your anger. Sons of thunder, let go of the prejudice and the rage. To Thomas, poke your finger into the scars, and you have to let go of your doubt. To the disciples, drop your nets and follow me. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you that you're going to have to drop the temporary joy, the temporary things that you keep grabbing a hold on to that's blocking you from an eternal joy? Jesus is after this man's heart. He loves him, and he's not backing down. The same is true through the word of God this morning. Jesus has eyes of fire. Jesus is after your heart. He's after connection with you. And so if you are here and you'd say, and this isn't the wrapping up altar call moment, so don't prepare. I still have two more points left. Lord, help us all. But if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to let go of some of those comforts. To the parents in the room, you're going to have to let go of some of your control. To some of the parents in the room, you're going to have to step up and look after those around you. To the dad, you're going to have to let go of some of your roadblocks. To the teenager, you're going to have to let go of some of the popularity pursuits, the phones, the games, etc. When I was a teenager, there was a couple girls that invited me to youth group weekly. And I was like, no, like, I'm trying to be cool. Like, I'm in 8th and 9th grade, and I'm trying really hard to be cool. In fact, I was cool. And I don't know why you're laughing at that. I was serious. But I'm walking down the halls, and these girls from youth group, I kind of was in and out of church, like, consistently. They're praying for the boys to come to church because they wanted to date some of the guys at school. And so they're praying, and it was exactly like this moment, because they're like, you have to give up the party scene. And I was like, I don't have to give up the party scene. Like, and I remember coming up with dodging this commitment and this call, and they kept pressing, and they kept praying, and they kept preaching. And so, confession, and I was like, me and my brother, my friend, we were the first in our school to party, but we were the first ones to quit partying because we realized it was nonsense. It was useless. But I had to actually stop dodging this. Some of you are like, I didn't know that about you, Pastor Dan. Thanks for, I'm unhinged now. I can share anything because of the fact that, you know, 3 weeks left. And but they kept pressing. They're like, no, you got to give up these things. And I was dodging it. But the Holy Spirit was like speaking directly to me, you know what you have to give up. The Holy Spirit puts the law on our hearts. And maybe I'm jumping ahead into a process of becoming more like Jesus, but the Holy Spirit does a powerful work inside of each and every one of us. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What are some of the things you need to let go of? What are some of the things, again, young people, the popularity chase, the pursuits, the things that are temporary joy that are blocking you from an eternal joy. Each and every one of us, Jesus gives you the right answer. He gives you a personal challenge. He gives you a personal correction. He speaks to us, and he's faithful to speak to us because he loves you. He loves you. He cares so much about you. And then when you switch and you sacrifice and you surrender and you don't leave with a sad face, you can think of David's prayer, Psalm 63, verse 3. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Your love is better than life itself, is my translation. His love is better than anything that this world has to offer. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, Psalm 16, verse 11. Man, can you just go on a journey with the Lord in the scripture and begin to say, what are the roadblocks that God is calling me to abandon, to let go of, to give up, and be honest with him, be honest with the Spirit of God and say, now is the time. I want to experience true joy by knowing him and not having any roadblocks from that connection. How hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. This is somewhat true in our American Western world. Oh, how hard it is for those who have a bunch of things. But I'm not going to preach that today. I'm not going to preach on a bunch of you know, I only have 3 weeks left, so I don't want to be mean or harsh. But I think it's just a bold statement that is packed with truth. How hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. This is the idea that we've seen Northern Lights like crazy, and yesterday there was like fireballs coming from the skies. And when you're in the city and you're in the thing surrounded by the light or the things of the world, it's hard to see the Northern Lights. The same is true is that if you are satisfied with this life, instead of longing for the life to come, you're going to miss the glory that the heavens proclaim. Amen. So sometimes in this warning, how hard it is for those, as Jesus looks to the disciples, he looks to the crowd, This guy leaves sad. How hard it is for those who have the riches, the materialism, to enter into the kingdom of God. It is a warning. It is a warning to us who have, we have so much comfort. We are not worried about our next meal. We are not praying and saying, God, protect us from persecution like they are in Africa. We are here and we have a lot of comforts. And so it's very crucial that you've done what you've done today to get out of the noise of the world, to come into a place, a sanctuary. It's almost like you're leaving town, if you will. You're going into the wilderness. You can look up and you can see no more worldly distractions, no more worldly light pollution, but you can look up and you can see the face of God. You can see the face of God in Jesus. It's a powerful reality. So we practice that. We practice, you know, pushing aside these roadblocks and coming to this place where we say, God, I want to see your glory. And there's great joy in salvation. Point number two, the joy of salvation. This has to produce a great joy. The disciples say, who can be saved? If this man who had the time to go to the temple and pray, this man who could actually, he was wealthy so he could actually not work on the Sabbath. If he was good, brought up in a good Jewish home, knew the Jewish law, if he who had time and money to obey the law, then if he is not going to gain eternal life, then who is going to gain eternal life? Is what the crowd begins to ask. Who then can be saved? And Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter into heaven, into the kingdom of God, the age to come. So the Greek idea here, it's exactly the literal thing that we just read. It's going to be this tiny little needle, this large camel, and it's the idea, it's literally impossible. And so it's going to be a great challenge. So what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, there's no chance to do this on your own. There's no way for your good works, your good deeds, to give you salvation. There's no way. Like, so he's pointing to the disciples, pointing to the crowd. It is as hard as a camel to pass through a tiny little needle, the head of a needle. And that's his way of saying that this is impossible with man. Man-made ideas, man-made resumes, man-made spiritual self-esteem, man-made religion, man-made attempts. All of these things in man are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So this is the joy of the gospel, the joy of the good news of Jesus Christ. We come to the list and we're like, oops, I'm unworthy and I've fallen short. Like, for me, it's, I read through the list and it's like, I'm a sinner. I'm poor in spirit. I'm needy. I need help. Often, all the time, I recognize my need for the gospel. Even this morning, it's like, as I get ready to preach, it's like, I confess, I sinned again on the way to church, and my attitude, the things in my heart, like, I confess that I need the salvation I experienced in ninth grade, but I need the salvation of Jesus today. I want to read a scripture, and it talks about the joy of the salvation because of the blood of the Lamb. It's a powerful scripture, Revelation chapter 5, verse 2 through 5. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven, on earth, or under earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. So John says, I wept and I wept because no one who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. This is the picture of thinking about how can we be saved? How can all the earth, all creation, how can we be saved? We come to this point, to the end of ourselves. We come to this point of great depression. We come to this place of weeping. That's what John is doing. He's in seconds, maybe minutes of weeping in Revelation chapter 5. Who has the deed to planet Earth? Who's going to save us from our sins? Who's going to save us from this persecution? Who's going to save us in this moment? Who is the one? And there's a moment, there's a glimpse of weeping and struggle. And we got to live in that struggle. We got to think about that struggle. Who is going to be worthy to carry the deed to planet Earth? And John weeps. And I pray that we would have moments of weeping over our list failure, our spiritual self-esteem, our religious works that don't add up to anything, that we would have a moment of weeping and we'd say, man, who is worthy to save me? Who is worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Who is worthy to take the scroll? And then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. You can stand this morning. The joy of your salvation. Ever since the fall, man has been trying to cover up, trying to hide, trying to replace worshiping the one true God with all forms of idolatry. Ever since the creation story, we rebelled. We're prone to worship idols. We're prone to harden our heart in sin. We're prone to go in our own way with our doubts and our fears and take temporary shortcuts. That's the bad news. And it brings us to this point where we've got to begin to have this great confidence as a church that has a cross on the wall. And when we are weeping and we're saddened as we're struggling to find joy, we sense the Spirit of God and we begin to not weep anymore. We see the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the extension of David's kingdom. He has triumphed over the cross, and praise God who gives us this victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And it's so key if you want to experience that joy to sit in that moment, waiting, to do an Advent, and say, I'm waiting for this renewal and this reminder, this constant nudging of the love of God. So this is the gospel. We recognize that Jesus was on his way to the cross. We recognize that here is Luke chapter 18. He's going to enter into Jerusalem. Just a few days later, he's going to be killed, murdered, lay down his life for the sins of the world. And then he's going to rise again, that whosoever believes in this will not perish, but have eternal life. It's the clear gospel, again, just reminding us of the gospel each and every day. And so I pray that would just, would truly transform your heart, not take you to a place where I'm no good and I'm never going to be any good and I'm never going to get this thing right. Church, you can't do that. Jesus, he went to the cross. He paid the price of your sins so that you could rise up and to be with him and to become more like him. So we don't stay at a place of pain and sorrow, but we come to a place of repentance, come to a place of confession, trust to Jesus, yes to Jesus, I'm following Jesus. I'll let go of everything this world has to offer to follow Jesus, and then you'll find joy. And last point, the joy of this current life. Peter, he always goes in that moment of I've left everything to follow you, Jesus. Not like this guy. I'm leaving everything to follow you. And then Jesus says, it will come back to you, multiplied many times over and over in this lifetime. And I think this point is key moving forward to continue to find joy this Christmas if you're struggling. So don't think because you have given up everything to follow Jesus that you're going to have materialism. This isn't the idea to have these worldly ideas creep in, like I get to have this, I get to be at his right and his left, seated to rule and reign the world. The idea here is that you're going to have, you're going to have purpose in Christ, but you're going to have the joy of his Spirit in you. You're going to have a joy of a community. When you say yes to Jesus, this is the full gospel. When you say yes to Jesus, you say, I don't want the things of this world, I want Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross, he rises again, he breathes upon the disciples, and the Holy Spirit fills them. Church, we will have joy in this life, not just eternal life, but you're going to have joy because the Spirit of the Lord, the joy of the Holy Ghost coming upon you and in you. Amen. So sometimes it's like, yeah, we just got to keep fighting, enduring, but it's like we endure because Jesus has promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. And I pray that you're encouraged, that you can have joy eternally, but you can have joy right now in this life. Amen. It's Christmas. He gives us gifts. He breathes upon the disciples. He recreates the creation story of God breathing into Adam, giving full life into the church, into this, to this poor rich young ruler. He misses it, but today we accept it and we receive it. We receive that Jesus says, you're gonna have multiplied things. You're gonna have multiplied joy. You're gonna have multiplied things in this life, which is the community of the church and joy of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? He doesn't want you to just struggle through Christmas. Like, I just gotta try to get by. He will actually give you a community that brings joy. He will give you the Holy Spirit that gives you joy. And I'm gonna pray that over us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. It sees right into our hearts. If there is roadblocks that are blocking connection and callings in this place, I pray that they'd come down. God, that you would take away the deep, dark secrets inside of our hearts, the motives that are impure, the addictions that go on and on. God, the sin that entangles us so easily. Remove the roadblocks. As a church, we invite you and your Word and the Holy Spirit to speak truth to those roadblocks, and we surrender those right now. We confess those to you right now. We don't want to be like the rich young ruler who misses it and goes away with a long, sad face. God, we confess our sin to you, and you are faithful and just to forgive any unrighteousness. Deliver us from this sin. And Lord, we thank you for the joy of our salvation. It's not a man-made idea. Is that you love us. God, while we were sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, and that makes the difference. And so we trust in that, we believe in that, the finished work of Jesus. We say yes to it. We respond to it. And we also recognize, God, that you give us gifts, the gift of the body of Christ, that wherever the disciples went, that they would have a community, a living cell group that would encourage them. So Jesus is saying that you will have 100 times more than these things of the world. You will have the body of Christ, a community that can encourage you and bring you joy and help you when you have times of need. And Lord, we also just cherish the gift of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the gift of the Holy Spirit would fall fresh upon each and every family and each person this Christmas. Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts. Fill us with joy, even when we go through the darkest times, the most lonely times, the saddest times, the most painful times. Send the Comforter, send the Holy Spirit. God, that you'd be in us, your joy be in us, and that joy would be abundantly overflowing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.